This is Rick Malone for the San Francisco Symphony. Charles Ives is often described as the original American maverick composer. He was writing music that used polyrhythms, multiple tonalities, and references to popular culture years and sometimes decades before anyone else was. And he was writing mostly in private. He knew that his music was upsetting to the establishment, but he didn't care. He had made a fortune as an insurance executive, where he was a somewhat more conventional maverick, inventing the concept of modern estate planning. But the original American maverick was really not Ives, but the man who gave him his first exposure to music, conventional and unconventional, his father, George Edward Ives. George Ives was the bandmaster of the town of Danbury, Connecticut, where young Charles grew up. He was also a music teacher, leader of theater orchestras, and director of music at the Methodist Church, all of which would seem very respectable on the surface. But George loved to experiment with music. He accompanied his family on the piano in C while they sang in E-flat, tried to teach them tunes in quarter tones, played his cornet across the water to study the echo, worked with bells and glasses and rigged up musical machines of his own invention. Some of his favorite moments came when his own band passed another in the park, each one playing a different march. Charles used this musical scenario in a number of his own works. In fact, this kind of musical collage was Ives's signature. In his scores, he used not just the counterpoint of individual musical strands, but the coming together of whole different musics to explore his belief in music's power to speak to the most central questions of human existence. He was, in many ways, the musical equivalent of the transcendentalists in literature, like Thoreau and Emerson, and he based many of his pieces on their writings. Ives was capable of awesome grandeur and outrageous bombast, but the piece that may come closest to capturing the essence of his musical vision is a serene, sometimes almost inaudible work of contemplation, The Unanswered Question. Ives wrote The Unanswered Question between 1906 and 1908, around the same time as The Pond and Central Park in the Dark, two other contemplative works. He was inspired by a line in Emerson's The Sphinx, "Thou art the unanswered question," and he scored it for trumpet, four woodwinds, and strings, with the three groups not only spaced where they can't see each other, with the strings off stage, but playing independently of each other, in free notation, meaning that the piece can never be played the same way twice. In just a few minutes of music, Ives hints gently at what Douglas Adams called the ultimate question of life, the universe, and everything. The strings begin with a slowly moving, almost hymn-like melody, which Ives said represents the silence of the druids who know, see, and hear nothing. The trumpet poses what Ives called the perennial question of existence. While the woodwinds chatter back, Ives called them the fighting answerers. The trumpet asks its question six times, each time louder and more insistently than the last, while the woodwind's answers become more and more erratic. Finally, after the sixth question, the winds get downright rude, mocking the question and blowing a raspberry at the trumpet. But the question is still out there, and the trumpet asks it once more, quietly. Finally, as I've said, the silences are left to their undisturbed solitude. And according to Leonard Bernstein, quietly prolonging their pure G major triad into eternity. Charles Ives' father was a veteran of the Civil War, and that bloody conflict caused many to question the nature and purpose of life. For Ives, though, music was part of the answer, part of existence itself. You cannot set art off in the corner and hope for it to have vitality, reality, and substance, he said. There can be nothing exclusive about substantial art. It comes directly out of the heart of experience of life and thinking about life and living life, end quote. Ives' question may not have an answer, but he posed it in a way that keeps us trying to find one a little bit differently each time. This is Rick Malone for the San Francisco Symphony.